for us tonight.
Yeah. You know, brother, I can sing country, too. You know that? Yeah. Oh, where are you tonight? You don't want to go any further than that. You got to preach it.
If I can't beat that, I'm going to quit.
You got to preach after I'm done. Let's welcome brother and sister Steve Spears. God bless you.
I thought he was fixing to kick off into a little of friends in low places. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. God bless you. How many love Jesus tonight? Amen. Just give a great big shout of praise to the King of Kings. Woo! Hallelujah! Boy, I like the peanut butter. Where'd that girl go? Is she still here? Do you have them with you tonight? You do? Okay. I take a couple boxes after church, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss God. Oh, my goodness. We're having a lot of fun. We're excited to be here next week. I notified the pastor where we were going to be next week, and he was very gracious. He said, all he said was, thank God for revival. Like, you know, I wish it was here. But anyway, he was very, very nice. And we're going to get rescheduled with him maybe. But whether we do or not, we're glad that we're here. This is where we're supposed to be. Amen. So God bless you. I was just wondering tonight, of course, you know, my mind is just not normal. And I was just wondering, what's wrong with you people right here? Because there's just nobody. It's the only section in the church that has a very... Are y'all okay here? Y'all... I don't know. Just wondering. So, sing before I start messing up his church. Amen. Isn't God great to us? There's been great singing around here. There was good singing this morning and good singing tonight. You're blessed of the Lord to have great, great talent in the church and a touch of the Lord. That's right. Give them. I love the Lord. I don't really know how to describe him, but I love him. I've never been able to find the right words to cobble together to tell what I really think of him. But boy, it's unbelievable. I love him so much. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Again, shake hands with somebody and tell them, I'm glad to see you in church. I tried wonderful counselor, incredible too. Unbelievable, tried inconceivable, none of these words were due. When my search was over, what I knew from the start, no words could describe it. I can't find the word. I confess. All right, let's start over. Woo! Thank you. I tried wonderful, marvelous, incredible too, unbelievable, inconceivable, many other words too. When my search was over, what I knew from the start, no words can describe it. I can't find the word. No, I can't find. Woo, how do you feel about him? To really express the greatness of Jesus, so I must confess. I've tried big words, small words, but none that I've found can describe him. I can't find. If you join in with that, lift a hand and love him. Woo! Boy, he's here right now. Thank you, Jesus. I took down my dictionary. I searched it all through. I looked through many pages and at other books too. But you know what happened, don't you? When my search was ended, what I knew from the start, there's no words to describe him. I can't find the words. Come on, somebody. I can't find the words to really express the greatness of Jesus. So I must confess. I've tried big words, small words, but none that I've found can describe him. I can't find the word. Lord, I'd like to describe him. Can't find the word. Yeah. Find the word. Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. Well, that's a job. You just have to give up on that one. Because he's just amazing. Even if they did try to shut me off, bless God, I'm going on. Hallelujah. I actually think I saw somebody up there bump the track, so it's really not his fault. He's a great guy. He tries to help me sound good, and that's a big job. So God bless you. Amen. Terry's coming right now, and we've got a special word for you tonight, without a doubt. Wasn't it nice to know that you know what you're doing? And we don't know what we're doing till we get in church. So we give the media people two or three different options until the Holy Ghost syncs up and we know what we're doing. So God bless you. Love all of you very, very much. Terry, come on. I'm ready for you to get started, girl.
mic, I promise. I have to follow up this comedy routine with the Word of God. This is the Steve and Roy show.
Yeah.
Wow, those two are something.
We're going to go to the Dells and start a show.
Should we just all dismiss and go to the fellowship hall and have coffee or something? No, because I do believe that we have a word for you tonight. I do believe God is going to show us some things tonight. Would you repeat after me?
I now in Jesus' name.
Receive the word you are sending into my heart.
Receive the word you're sending into my heart.
Not my head.
Not my head.
My heart is fertile ground.
Heart is fertile ground.
Where the Holy Ghost lives.
Holy Ghost lives.
And the seed will germinate.
Seed will germinate.
Now in the name of Jesus, I take dominion over anything in this building that is not like you.
Hallelujah.
I cast out any fear, any doubt, any unbelief, and we release love, joy, peace, faith to operate in this building tonight.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost to be released and God to do what he wants to do in spite of us. Whatever he wants to do, I want him to visit us in this place.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to talk to you for a little bit tonight on the glory of God. Actually, my title for tonight is When the Up Comes Down.
Great.
It was on a mountain like this one, with a breathtaking view from the top. And it was surrounded by desert plains and more mountains. And that's where the glory of God descended in front of the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. They really got to see the glory of God. It was one of the high points of Israel's history. And then the moment passed. But before they moved on from Sinai, God told them to build the tent that would be called the tabernacle. And he would dwell in it, and he would be continually in their midst. So they built it. And God's presence and glory that had appeared on the mountaintop now descended into the plain, and the glory would hover with them in the wilderness in their everyday lives and on their journey. So what does that reveal to us? It reveals to me that God's will is to come down to earth and to dwell with us.
Yeah.
And so he did. And the up came down. In the opening of the Gospel of John, his coming down is recorded in this way. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But in the original language, it says the word tabernacled with us. In other words, he pitched his tent among us just as he did in Sinai. So again, well, what does that mean? How does that relate to us? You know what it means? It means that every day of our lives we can dwell in his presence and in his glory. You know, in the natural, life is a series of ups and downs of emotions and circumstances. Not in God's world. The up has already come down. Heaven has already kissed earth. The mountaintop has come to the valley. So what this means is even in the lowest places of your life, you can still dwell on the mountain. even in the darkest valleys, you can still dwell in the glory of the mountaintop when we are in his presence. When we enter into communion with him in prayer or worship or just dwelling with him every day, no matter where you are, you will dwell in a taste of the glory. I don't know, it's like you have a portable mountaintop. A glory portal. And he's opening one over Madison. There are a few things in nature that remind me of God and his glory, and one of them is the rainbow. This is a picture of a rainbow that was over our campground in Louisiana during one of the youth camps this year when I walked outside. But when I see a rainbow, it throws my mind back to Noah and to God's promise to us. And rainbows are glorious, and they totally fascinate me. You know what? They're always the same color. No matter where on this world that you see them, they're going to be red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. No matter. If I'm on the other side of the world and I see a rainbow, it's going to be the same color. There's a scripture in Ezekiel 128 that talks about the rainbow depicting the glory of God. And here's what this scripture says. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Now, why didn't Ezekiel just say rainbow instead of like the appearance of the bow? If you notice in verse 26, he didn't say throne either, but he says likeness or similitude of a throne. Let's read it. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, like the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. Remember the first chapter of Ezekiel. It's his first vision of the glory of God. And he keeps on saying the likeness of a throne, or the similitude as the appearance of a man. But listen to how he sums it all up in verse 28. He says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. It wasn't the glory of the Lord. It was the similitude of the glory of the Lord. Not quite even that, because it was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. It was only partial. The prophet Ezekiel was being given a vision of the glory of God, but he could only speak of it in likenesses and appearances and similitudes and resemblances. Once again, what does that mean to us? And what does it reveal? It reveals that no matter how hard Ezekiel tried, he couldn't describe it. He could only speak of what it appeared to be like. And so it is with God. No matter what we use to describe him, he's still beyond that. And no word can contain him. And not the highest praise, not the deepest thought, not the most sophisticated theology. They can't even begin to grasp what his likeness really is. If the prophet Ezekiel, to whom God showed visions of glory.
Excuse me. You can't find the words to describe him?
Okay. You want to sing it again?
If the guy will start it, I'm going to sing it again. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Because Ezekiel couldn't do it.
No. They can't describe it. They can't comprehend it.
Hey, this goes with the sermon, you hear? tried wonderful, marvelous, incredible too, unbelievable, inconceivable.
It just
won't
do.
Many other words too. When my search was over, what I knew from the start, I join you, Ezekiel, and all the rest of you. No words can describe.
Woo!
Can't find the words. One time, sing with me. Can't find the words to really express. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Of Jesus. So I must confess. Tried big words
and
small words,
but nothing,
none that
nothing
I found can describe him.
I can't find the words.
The word. That's it. That's it.
Hey, just pause that if you can.
Woo.
I can't find.
Yeah, there you go. You can't describe him.
You can't. God is always more than you think he is.
Oh, yes, he is. Yeah,
there's always more for you to discover.
Yeah.
There's always another dimension for you to take home.
Woo.
And when we get into this dimension, there's going to be another dimension. You never graduate from seeking him and hungering
no,
for
no,
his
no,
glory.
No, 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 no.
Just stay there. We might do another verse of that. We might do another verse of that. The word glory is from the Latin word gloria. Means fame or renown. You know, we use the word God's glory to describe the manifestation of his presence as we can only perceive it. But I think defining the glory of God is impossible. It hasn't been shown in its totality yet. It's more like the word wonderful. Not like the word flower. No, you're looking at me like she's lost her mind. If someone says that they've never heard of a flower, and they don't know what a flower is, you could describe to them what a flower is. It's not real hard to do. It grows on a green stem. There may be leaves on the stem. It's the top part of the plant that's often brightly colored. It can be a single bloomer. It can come in clusters, and there's colorful petals, and oh, they smell so wonderful. But there we go. How do you describe wonderful? You can't describe it like you do flower, because there are just some words in our vocabulary in which we can communicate with, not only because we say them, but because we see them. We can point. And if we can point at enough things and see enough things together, we can say, oh, that's it, that's it, that's what it looked like. So then we have a sense of what wonderful maybe is. But just to put the word wonderful into words is difficult. The same thing is with the phrase, the glory of God. Now here's an attempt at a definition that I have. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold or his many perfections. The psalmist said in Psalms 19 and 1 that the heavens are telling us about the glory of God, and that means that he's shouting at us through the clouds and through the blue expanse and through the gold on the horizon and through the white snow. And then he shouts with his galaxies and he shouts with his stars and he is shouting, I am glorious. Open your eyes. The whole earth is full of the glory. And if we had miracle eyes, we could see this room tonight filled with the glory of God. Yeah. It is hovering over this building and over these people and over your pastor. It is just hovering, waiting to manifest itself in a tremendous way. Yeah. But you know, the God of the world blinds the minds of people to keep them from seeing the knowledge of the glory of God. I just close your eyes for a minute. Do you see it? Do you love it? Do you feel it? Madison, you were created for this. This is why Calvary exists. Everything points us to his glory, but we struggle to see it manifested. I have a personal philosophy. I think we all have too much stuff to attend to. And we're too comfortable in this world to really search after more than what we're spoon-fed on Sundays and Wednesdays. But seeing what God wants to do in this new dimension in your church is going to take more than that. It's outside our normal perimeters. It's a Thursday and Friday night prayer time when we usually don't have Thursday and Friday night. Don't ever let your own life get in the way of God's move. Oh, wow. Let's look outside our normal comfort zone for a minute. There's a scripture in Leviticus 23 and 39 that's fascinating. Fascinating. When ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord for 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and then on the eighth day there'll be a Sabbath. Anyone catch that? You celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And seven, of course, is the number of days in the feast, and the days of creation, and the days in a week. God's number. So what's the eighth day? How do you get an eighth day from a 7-day feast? There isn't an eighth day. Yet there is. If the seventh day speaks of the end, then what is the eighth day speaking of? And I think I shared that with you the other night. A prayer meeting. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Eight speaks of that which comes after the end. In the Bible, eight means resurrection and regeneration, and it's the number of new beginning. And eight is 7 plus 1. See how smart I am? It's also 1 plus 7. Some of y'all get that later. Works both ways. And since it comes just after 7, which signifies the end of something, so 8 is associated with the beginning of a new era and a new order. Now, logically speaking, you would say that nothing comes after the end, or it wouldn't be the end. That's speaking normal language. It seems so contradictory. So what happens on the eighth day? Here's what it's called in the Jewish tradition. The eighth day is called Shemina Yatzeret. And it means the gathering of the eighth day. The Feast of Tabernacle, last of the holy days appointed of God. It's the final feast. So it speaks of the end, or the end of days, or the end of time. Then comes the eighth day. It's a day beyond days. It's a day when the finite yields to the infinite and its limitations are no more. The age beyond ages where we behold his glory and where the up really comes down. We are so close sitting in this place tonight to that breaking wide open. You can almost feel the weight of the glory of God. We're progressing from one place to the other. We're progressing from what's normal into what we've never experienced before. We are progressing into an eighth day that we have never walked in, that really we don't even know about, that's really a new place that really we can't even explain. If you're speaking in biblical terms and not just about this church, the eighth day in the Bible begins eternity. We aren't quite there yet. We're still living in the human government dispensation. The eighth day millennial reign hasn't yet come. How much longer do we really have? How much longer do we really have until time gives way to eternity and we no longer live in this realm, but we live in a different realm? We're right on the precipice of that. And because we are right on the precipice of that, we are, and I said this at some other point, we are starting to feel the splashings of eternity. We're getting so close that we're starting to see and to feel what it really can be like to live in total alignment with God and to see the glory of God and to experience signs and wonders and miracles continually. And we're right there at the crossing over.
Terry, I want you to tell them about the revelation you have about the rapture.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, just...
How many want to go to heaven?
Woo!
How many want to go right now?
God is doing something here.
Well, something special going on. And I heard Terry talking this the other day, and it's just kind of blown my mind. I want her to tell you a revelation she has about what's going to happen when the Lord comes. I don't know what your idea of the rapture is, but you wait till you hear this.
He is light.
God is light.
The word says he is light.
Yeah.
When you try to describe him, it's very difficult, and I've just walked you through that, and he's saying it. You can't find the words because we don't have the concept, we don't even have the mindset to understand and to wrap ourselves around the greatness of God. But Scripture says that he is light. Says
perfect
it in several
light.
Different places.
Perfect light.
Now, you know that you cannot create darkness, but you can turn on a light. Darkness just exists. I can't create it.
No.
I can just turn a light on and off, but I can't create darkness. But when he showed up a long time ago, he brought light. And he separated the light from the darkness.
Yes, he did.
And there was a division drawn. And we have a sun and we have a moon and we have day and we have night. And the reason that that's possible is because he is light. So, the Word of God tells me that I am to be like him. So if I'm to be like him, I am to be light. Light. Huh? You can help me. I'm getting there.
I can't help it. This is so exciting to me. I love this revelation. Go for it.
So I am light if I'm like him. Okay. But I don't look like light. Now, sometimes when you're in a rough situation and you speak a word of encouragement, people see light because they see a little bit of him. Or you'll hear somebody say, that message turned a light on inside of me because we got a little bit of him. Do y'all know how fast light travels? 182,000. It's 186,272 miles per second. That's fast. They tell me that by the time you snap your finger, that light has circled the earth 8 times. I can't even imagine. There's no way I can wrap my brain around that. But that's the speed of light. He is light. So, as we start, oh, hallelujah, this is just so exciting. As we start nearing the coming of the Lord, and we start gaining ground in changing into the new dimension that God wants us to be, we start becoming more what?
Light.
We start becoming more light than dark. Let me tell you, I know I'm deviating. I promise I'm going to get there. When you start becoming more light and more word than you are flesh, you won't battle any longer.
Oh, my Lord.
Because when the Word was made flesh, what happened?
Dwelled among us.
And it became what?
Light.
So the more word I have and the more of him that I have, the more light I become, and light dispels darkness, and then I don't have to struggle with the things that have been entangling my mind because the light has run the darkness out and I have become more like him. Why do we want to have Thursday night and Friday night prayer? I'll tell you why. We're trying to get you to become more light than you are darkness. We're trying to get you more full of the Word and more full of Jesus because it's easier that way. You just don't struggle. I wrote this book. I'm going to get there. I wrote this book, Five Miracles. Not my revelation. It's T.W. Barnes' revelation. He gave it to me before he died. Told me I'd know when to write the book. And when I wrote it, it would be because it was getting close to the end of time. And so help me God, believe me or not, God told me when to write it. I sat out and wrote it. It talks about five miracles. And it's miracle, and this is what he taught me. It's miracle mind. Let this mind be in me, which was in Christ Jesus. Do you know, when you become more light, you think like he does. Then decisions aren't hard. I know, I'm out there on a limb by myself. That's okay. Brother Grant's with me. When I think like him, I don't have to worry about whether I should do this or whether I should do that or whether I should go here or whether I should move or whether I should come or whether I should go or whether I should do whatever. Because when I'm thinking like he is, his mind is in me, and then the will of God dwells inside of me. Oh, my Lord. And then miracle eyes to see the world as he sees it, not as we see it. See, I'm standing here tonight, and I'm not just seeing y'all. I'm seeing a host of angels that are encamped around about this place. And if y'all could see what I could see, they are sitting on ready. See, with miracle eyes, sometimes he will let you glimpse into another realm that's beyond this one. Can I tell you, the spiritual realm is a much more of a reality than this natural one we're living in. And that this natural one is only a reflection of that spiritual one. And the reason we're seeing so much commotion and so much stuff and so much turmoil in our nation and our world is because there's turmoil in the heavenlies. Because he who is to come is just about to come. And so there is all kind of crazy stuff happening. But see, miracle eyes help you understand that. And they help you see people like God sees them. And then, therefore, we all get along perfectly. Because he only sees through eyes of love. He only sees me through the blood of Calvary. Miracle ears to hear. So I can hear his voice, and I am directed by what he says, and I'm not controlled by what the media says or what my neighbor said or what somebody told me when they called me yesterday or whatever. I'm controlled by what he hears. And then a miracle heart to love, if I can love like Jesus does. There's no more hate. No more malice, no more anger. Bitterness, unforgiveness. And the last one, it was so incredible to me, because at first when Brother Barnes started revealing all this to me, he gave me only the first four. And he had called me down to see him, and I spent a few days with him, and he gave me all this, and he sent me home, and he told me to do homework and to come back, and we'd discuss it. And so I did it all, and we came back, and he said, well, I forgot, but I've got a fifth one. We got to add to this. I said, what is it, Brother Barnes? He said, it's miracle emotions. Can you imagine not having to deal with I'm just happy all the time. Because it's a miracle that has transpired inside of me to where nothing matters but him. So, if I'm going to become like him, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to start transforming. And the more I start transforming, the more light I become. Now, let me explain to you that Scripture says that when he comes, he will come in the twinkling of an eye. All this is... Now, I don't know. I've read so many things about what a twinkling of an eye is. I don't know. They say it's about 1/32nd of a second. I'm thinking it's probably about the speed of light. So when it's time for for us to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. We, as we start toward the light, we become the light. Because the light now dwells within us. And I really do become like him. But as the closer we get to that coming, and for me becoming light like he is light, the closer I get to it, the more light I am supposed to be becoming. Until it's almost like when you walk in somewhere, somebody says, "Wow, what's that all over you? You just beam. You just look, something just looks different about you." That's because I am becoming more like him. I have moved into a new dimension to where I think like he does. I hear what he says. I see what he says. And I become more light than I am darkness, because I am headed to the light, to where we will all be in the glory of God.
At the speed of light, material things disappear. You hear me?
Okay.
When you're at the speed of light, your flesh is not visible.
Matter cannot exist at the speed of light.
Cannot.
Matter disappears when it moves at the speed of light. Yep. Do you know what that means? Your flesh is going to disappear.
Oh, yeah.
And you are going to take on immortality, and your mortal flesh is going to fall away, and then I become an immortal being like him. But until that day dawns, and until that eighth day rolls around, I've got to start becoming more like him. I've got to start moving more in that light. I've got to start laying down some things that are not necessary in my life. Let me just share something very personal, and then you do whatever you want to. I don't know. His sermon is... I'm going to share something very personal. I don't suppose I've ever shared publicly. But we're moving into new ground. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. God's been working on me a long time. Some of us are real hard-headed. No comments from you. I was, as you know, I was very sick for 10 years. And at the point when I got sick, we lived in a very small house that we actually finally took the garage in so we could have a bedroom. Our kids had rooms, and it was really small. And we took the garage in, and so we had Steve and I had a nice bedroom. And I got sick not long after that. The house was located right across the street from the emergency room, the hospital, which ended up being very convenient. Because I was right across the street all the time. When I started getting well, and you can read my story, or you've heard my story, but it was about 6 years into the illness when I finally kind of made a halfway of a turn. God healed all my bones and healed my heart, and I had so many miracles. But I was still in bad shape. My liver didn't function, and I had all kind of problems, but it wasn't as bad as it had been. The last 4 years weren't as bad as the first 6 years. In the middle of that, it was about at the 7th year of my sickness, we had a guy come through preach at our church, and he was a prophet. And he just spoke into the atmosphere that night, and he said, and I hadn't even, honestly, I had thought about it, but I hadn't really talked about it. But I really had wanted to move because I was right across the street from the emergency room, and it was so busy and noisy, and ambulances and helicopters. It was craziness. And I'm trying to get well, and all I can hear is hospital noises. And I had wanted to move locations because I think sometimes we have to get our minds clear. So I had been praying, and I had wanted to move, but we really didn't have the means to do it. And this guy comes in, and he just speaks, and he says, God is about to give you a beautiful home, and it's going to be out in the country, and it's going to be a place that you can recover from your illness, and God wants this for you. I was like, what? Thank you, Jesus. I have a clue. And you don't even want to hear the story of the house.
You can tell how we got it. That'd be all right. I've forgiven you.
Y'all got to understand, I was on morphine, okay? I was living on morphine. It was the only way I was surviving. The doctors just told me I could have as much as I wanted. I was so addicted. Anyway, that's all in the book, how God delivered me. But I always blame it on the morphine. I'm not sure it was morphine. Maybe it was God. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
My husband had heard this prophecy, so he goes out in the next few weeks and he starts looking for a house. So he finds this house, and it's for sale, he thinks, but when he inquires, it's really not the house that's for sale, it's the land that's for sale, and they're going to tear the house down because they're making commercial property. So he comes home and he says, I'm so disappointed. He said, it's like the perfect house. It's got like big white columns and there's trees. And we live in a place where there's no trees because it's all farmland. And he said, it's perfect. And I'm like, well, what about it? He said, we can't have it. I was like, well, that's a bummer. Why did you tell me about it? Well, he said, because it's perfect. Well, I was out of the hospital at that point, and they had given me my car keys back. He went to the church office. I went to look at the house, and it was perfect. There's a little trailer parked about, I don't know, several hundred feet back behind it. I just go walking in that little trailer. I had no idea what I was doing. There's a man sitting in there behind a desk. I said, sir, are you selling that house? He said, I am. He said, I'm really just selling the land. And he told me, he said, we're going to build a hotel, yada, yada, yada. And he was super wealthy, and he told me all about himself. And I'm striking up a conversation with this stranger. And I said, so why are you tearing that house down? It's fantastic. He said, it's in the way. I said, well, I want to buy it. And he started laughing. He said, who are you? I said, my name is Terry. And he's like, okay, but he said, I've already sold the place. He said, it's built out of solid cypress wood. And he said, I've got a contractor that is coming in, and he's paying me $25,000, and he's buying the house for the lumber, and they're tearing it down and hauling this cypress lumber off. I said, I'll give you $5,000. He said, did you just hear me? I said, I've sold it for $25,000. I said, I'll give you $7,000. He said, you're serious? I said, very. Y'all, before I walked out of his office, I had written him a check for $9,700. And I had bought a house, and I hadn't even told my husband. And I'd bought a house for $9,000. that we didn't even have. See, I'm telling you, I don't know if it's morphine or God. I go home and I'm thinking, oh my word, Stephen's going to come home and I'm going to have to tell him what I did. He came home and I told him, and he liked to have a heart attack. He said, you did what? I said, I bought that house.
You understand there's no land.
No, there's nothing. He said, you bought that? What? Why? What are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to move it. Then he started laughing like the man did. He said, you're going to move it. Well, how are you going to do that? I said, well, first I'm going to find some land. I'm going to buy some land. Then I'm going to hire a mover, and we're going to move the house. He's sitting there. He said, right, you are. Do you know you're sick? Yeah, but I need, the man said I can. The prophet said I have a house, and I have found a house for $9,000. Fast forward. We did buy the land. We did move the house. And it's a comical story. It's in my book. It's hilarious, honest to God. I don't know what either one of us were thinking. I think he was just trying to appease me. I don't know. But it's a fantastic house. It's almost 5,000 square feet. Two garages. We bought 3 acres of land to put it on. Took out all the neighbors' mailboxes, moving the house in. That was a nice welcome party. Yeah. Brick mailboxes. We had to rebuild. But I said all that to tell you, it really is the house of my dreams that God blessed us with in a very unique way. It is a place that I recovered from my sickness, and God met me so many times and directed my path. We finished raising our children, our grandkids. So I'm sitting at a little bitty bar in the middle of my kitchen about 5 years ago. I'm looking out. There's a tiny little pond out there. And I'm thanking God for the wonder of my house and the miracle blessing that he has given me. When all of a sudden, he speaks very clearly to me and says, you ready to get it away? Give it away? He said, can you live without it? Am I worth more than this house? And at first I started arguing with him. And I'm like, but God, you gave it to me. This is your blessing. And he said, but I want it back. And a little more of my flesh died. Sat there that day. I said, all right, God, I don't have to have a house. I don't have to have a car. I don't have to have anything. You can have it all. It all came from you in the first place, and it all goes back to you at the end. And I told the funny story to say to this congregation tonight, he may be asking for some things. I'm not saying you got to get rid of your house and your car. Actually, we still have the house that's on the market to be sold. Have somebody looking at it this weekend, and I hope it's gone because I've already given it to him. See, it's already a done deal. And I'm not saying that you have to go to that extreme, and I'm not saying that you have to, I'm not even saying that it's monetary things, but there are some things that some of you are still holding on to. That before we can all do this shift, we're going to all have to be willing to lay down. See, because it has to come down to the fact that there's nothing in this world more important to you than your relationship with Him and what He wants to happen in Madison, Milwaukee. Everything else no longer matters. Yeah, I mean, I have to go to work because I have to eat. But I'm not living for my job. I'm not living for my house. I'm not living to collect more things that I'm just going to have to get rid of when I get older. I'm not living to have more than somebody else has, or to have stuff as nice as they have. I'm not living to waste my time on things that are going to just pass away. But I'm living because I want to become more like Him, and I want to see what He wants to do between now and the time of His coming, and I want to spread the gospel through this county like we've never been able to do before, and I want to help develop sister works and daughter works and works of every kind reaching every nation, and I want to pull down the liberalism that's in this county, and I want to make this a seat for the glory of God. And when we can all get on that same page, when we can all start feeling that same pull inside of me, that I'm wanting to become more light than I am darkness, that I'm wanting to become more of Him than I am of me, when I'm wanting to become more spirit than I am flesh, that's when the glory of God will be manifest.
On the floor is best somehow. And I want you and God to have a talk. Don't just get down there and let your mind wander. Don't get down there and just, you know, well, I've done this before kind of a thing. But God, I'm serious. Show me a picture of what you want me to do.